more Notre Dame home games Saturday continues with WSBT Game Day, live from Ivy Court Inn and Suites. Here is your host, Evan Sharpley.
And we're back. It's the Game Day Show with Evan Sharpley. The Fighting Irish were demolished last Saturday in South Beach at the hands of the Miami Hurricanes. Notre Dame looks to bounce back this afternoon. The number 8th-ranked Irish kickoff at 3:30 p.m. I'm Evan Sharpley, and for the next hour, I'll be your host and tour guide as we prep for kickoff. And if this is your first time tuning in, this show is all about setting the atmosphere, giving you a feel for the game day experience, talking with former Irish players and discussing X's and O's. We're live from Ivy Court Inn and Suites on the campus of Notre Dame, so stop by for some pictures, autographs, and as always, delicious free barbecue for today's last home game show. And riding shotgun with me is my producer, State Farm agent Tim Growl. Tim, we got 70 degrees and sunny today. Is that right?
70 degrees.
You doing all right?
Right in here. Not a lot of light. You know, Rob's going to be coming, setting up in here.
We moved inside, so yeah. If you are in the area, you know, you don't have to feel like you're going to stand outside in the cold and the rain. You'll save that for the game. But come on over to Ivy Court Inn and Suites. We've got some great food, and, 70 degrees and sunny in here.
Yeah, but outside is kind of how everybody's feeling
this
whole week.
Are you sad?
You and I were – demolished is kind of a harsh word, but maybe annihilated is even a harsher word. But you and I were, like, texting. I think, you know, you're much more calmer than I. I'm the guy that's falling off the ledge during the game and everything. But I think that's the most we text because what are you going to say? You needed to commiserate with somebody.
I don't know. I mean, it was one of those things, too. Like, I know a lot of people probably tuned out in the second half. It was kind of like one of those – you know, car accidents that you were watching, and it was so hard to turn away. I watched the second half. I don't know why. It was like glutton for punishment, maybe.
Right.
But you're kind of driving by, and it was like you couldn't stop watching. You were hoping maybe something good was going to happen, but it just – I mean, the game didn't have that feel. And really, from the start, Miami's intensity, the atmosphere that they created in that stadium, you know, Notre Dame was not able to match that from the beginning whistle, and kind of felt like they were behind the eight ball from the start. You know, the run game didn't work like they had planned early. I thought they maybe abandoned it too quickly.
Too soon. Right.
And then you get into a mode where, you know, you're down 14 or 20, even 21 at that point, and you're trying to play catch up, you know, and you're a team that's maybe not necessarily built on having to throw the ball as many times as they wanted to, once that run game wasn't there, you turn the ball over a couple of times. It's difficult to, you know, just difficult to make that comeback. So going into the second half, you know, there was a slim chance, very slim, but you know it was going to have to be a couple of big plays on special teams. You know, a turnover, forced by the defense, and then offensively, you know, getting a couple of explosive plays, and really all three of those facets, none of those happened the entire game.
You just kept waiting for us to adapt or make some changes. And they didn't seem to happen. And later on in this show, we'll have Alan Pinkett, who was down there calling the game. We can get more in depth with that. But real quick here before we bring on our first guest. So you have senior day today.
Yep.
Coming off a demolishing, devastating, annihilating loss and stuff.
Navy is licking their chops
right now. That's right. So you're the coach and talking to the team today, or you're a player on the team. What's the mindset?
Well, early in the week, that's got to be established. So, you know, you have – there's usually the 24-hour rule. You have 24 hours to kind of feel bad for yourself. You're going to watch the tape. You're going to go in there and make adjustments. And then it's got to be back to business. Certainly over the course of the last 2 weeks, you've maybe seen some chinks in the armor on both sides of the ball against Wake Forest and then the game against Miami. You know, those things they have to be rectified. Execution has to be at a much higher level. You have a team that's coming in that traditionally now over the past 10 years has played Notre Dame very tough, has taken steps forward in their program. They're struggling too. They're going to look – this could define their season this year. This could be a win that is a little – it could be the cherry on top of maybe a poor dessert for them. But would certainly sweeten the deal.
Sure.
On their end. So – you know, it's difficult because you're managing the emotions of losing, and especially on the national stage, too, where, I mean, you know, a week ago we're talking about what? We're talking about potentially being in the college football playoff, the final four teams, and now that's looking like it's a long shot. You know, there's going to have to be a lot of help from other teams, which it could happen, but that's not what you're
far remote.
Exactly.
But New Year's Six is still a good
New Year's Six. Yeah, New Year's Six is still a good prize at the end of the season, but that won't happen if there's a fall off today and next week. So it's about really, in my mind, is picking up the pieces mentally, and then that started last week, and having a good week of practice, and then once you kind of manage the emotions of losing, now it's the final home game for several players, potentially a few more, depending on whether or not they come back next year, and really focusing and locking in, because it is a pretty somber and sobering time for players, especially guys that have been in the program for 4 or 5 years. And it is a type of guy too. You hear the right type of guy or right kind of guy that Notre Dame recruits, and it's not a knock on them. You know, they're very purposeful in the reasons why they came here. So it may mean a lot more compared to some other programs too. You know, it's a lasting. It leaves a lasting imprint on them emotionally and their families too. So to run out in the tunnel, you know, to see your coaching staff and then to see your family out on the field too. And especially right before the game, you know, right. You've got to pull it back together and say, hey, this whistle's about to blow. We've got to go out there. And then now you couple it with a team that it's hard to play Navy. They're so nice, right. You know, but they play so hard. And, you know, yeah. how do you go out there and set the tone and the tempo early, you know, without, you know, whether you're a trash talker, it's a different type of mentality on the field. It's very businesslike, and you really have to make sure that early on in the game that Notre Dame is telling them who's boss.
Talking about, and you always, we don't even do notes or anything, but you always set me up. So talking about lasting impressions, what better way for the Rockne Heritage game that we're having today than to have the executive director of the Newt Rockne Memorial Society, Jim LaFave, join us today. Good morning, Jim.
Great to be with
Jim,
you.
Jim, how are you?
Good.
Talk to us about the Rockne Memorial Society, kind of the brainchild of it, how it started, and the goal that you guys have of kind of creating this lasting legacy that we're talking about.
Well, it really flows out of my work of the last decade plus of researching, writing, publishing, and speaking about the Rockne era. The first book, Loyal Sons, the story of the Four Horsemen and the 24 team, and then, of course, the Rockne biography, Coach for a Nation, the Life and Times of Newt Rockne. So going about speaking to people across the country, Notre Dame groups and others, I just saw the tremendous interest in how things started, how things began, how things developed during that era. And so a bunch of us got together and decided, let's formalize this. Let's create an organization. And so it's the Newt Rockne Memorial Society. They can go to our website at rocknesociety.org. And among the goals is to turn the book, Coach for a Nation, into a documentary film. We realize that a 500-page book isn't everybody's
right.
cup of tea, but will they sit there for a 55-minute movie that tells the same story? And it's really about Rockne's influence on not just Notre Dame, not just football, but really the nation. He formalized the coaching profession, for instance, in his guidance of young coaches across the country, his advocating for them being hired as professional full-time coaches. That's something that had been overlooked really up until the time of Coach for a Nation. So it's to bring more attention on not just his life, but his influence, not just on the game of football, the way that he led people, the way that he communicated with people, the way that he motivated people, are all lessons that can be used today. And so we're talking about recognizing and inspiring people to achieve great things in athletics and in life. And that's what we did 2 weeks ago with our first ever Newt Rockne Spirit of Sports Award celebration.
And you had quite a few former players go. What was that like to see those guys in there and some of the stories that they were telling?
It was unbelievable. They could have gone all night telling the stories. It did go kind of long, the program, but everybody loved it that got back to us afterwards. The likes of Rocky Blyer, whose own life story alone is amazing, but then some of the other players, Mike Oriard, who was the captain the year after Rock in 1969, he goes from walk on to captain. I mean, people didn't think he'd last 3 days.
He's the true Rudy story, I think.
He is the true. He is. When people ask me about that other fellow, I like to talk about someone like Mike Oriard, who. Who came in, they didn't think he'd last 3 days. He becomes not just the starter at center, second-team All-American, captain of the team, and then goes on to this amazing career as an author and professor, 35-year professor at Oregon State, and has written 8 books, including 2 of the greatest, the best football memoir is his own, and then 2 tremendous books of history on the cultural development of history as a cultural touchstone of America. It's just some great stuff. Great guy. Dan Harshman, longtime CEO of the Logan Center here in town, who was one of ERA's players. So the theme was Coach Parsegian, really, and honoring several of his players. And then we also added in a more recent player, Ryan Harris, from the Denver Broncos Super Bowl team.
You're listening to the Game Day Show. We're talking with the Newt Rockne Memorial Society Executive Director, Jim Lefebvre. And Tim, what's pretty cool is the uniforms today, from the cleats all the way up to the helmet and in between, a lot of really great nuggets, I guess we could say.
Absolutely.
Paying and honoring to Coach Rockne. Tell us a little bit about, you know, what people are going to see, whether they're watching from the stands or at home.
You know, when I was doing some research, I just was looking at the aesthetics of the uniform the whole time. And then this morning I started looking at everything that's going to be on the uniform, and Jim and I were talking about that. Of course, Notre Dame players don't ever have their name on the back, but Rockne's going to be across the back. If you put the gloves together in the form, it's going to spell out Rockne. And Jim, correct me if anything's wrong, if I got anything wrong here.
Two for two right now.
Two for two. They were going to have some sayings from, we're going to call Pat O'Brien playing Newt Rockne from the movie or whatever, but the famous sayings from his speech and stuff like that. But what else will we see with the uniforms today?
Well, the actual helmets are designed in such a way, or painted in such a way, I don't know how to describe it really, that it's trying to evoke the look of
looks
a
leather. Looks like leather, right?
Should they take the mask off then, too?
Yeah, well, that would be something, wouldn't it? Have to ask the insurance agents about that, the liability. And then the shoes, the same way. The shoes are supposed to evoke the shoes from the 20s. So it's some neat stuff. It's some unique things. And, you know, the whole day is going to be about honoring Coach Rockne.
And the tie into Navy, I was wondering about that because I couldn't understand that. But so they, in the second game, or 1930 season, Notre Dame played Navy, and it was the official dedication of the stadium that Rockne went to great pains to design, correct?
Exactly. All that is true. It was not the opening game of that season.
Right.
They opened with Southern Methodist and drew a much smaller crowd. But Navy, they knew, would be the big draw, so they made that the dedication game. And true, I mean, the building of Notre Dame Stadium was a culmination of years of effort on Rockne's part, almost single-handedly, in terms of he was the one that had to convince the powers of Notre Dame, as I call it, that this football thing might be for real, might stick around for a few years, you know. And he did that by, of course, taking his team all across America and playing in front of these huge crowds in the likes of Yankee Stadium and Soldier Field and elsewhere, the L.A. Coliseum, Rose Bowl, and bringing back some pretty substantial dollar amounts, which helped build several buildings on campus. And then again, finally got the okay in 1927 that they could go ahead and build a stadium. He had studied these massive stadiums across the country, so he had a good idea of what he wanted and was very involved with the design, up to and including a late change that people can relate to over the decades. He narrowed the seats by 2 inches. He's the one from the original plan, so they could, you know, have 5,000 more capacity in the seats. And we found the documentation of where that happened, and obviously that's been changed with the latest update.
Tim Growl and Evan Sharpley on Game Day at the Ivy Court Inn and Suites. In looking also, I saw that he's got the highest winning percentage, 881, in college and professional. I don't even remember him coaching professional.
No, when people say that, they mean you take every major college coach has ever been.
Oh, and, I got you now.
And every professional coach has ever been, and nobody's had a higher winning percentage.
Oh, in your post office box. Hey, I like that tie-in.
We went at the Notre Dame post office. We were delighted to hear that box 881 is available, and that is the official address of the Newt Rockne Memorial Society, P.O. Box 881, and that's why.
And one more question. He took the team to Los Angeles to play the first time, Southern Cal. Was that also correct?
Right. 1926 was the start of the Southern Cal series.
That'd be a big challenge back in those days to travel across the country.
Well, it was. It was huge, and it was a lot of logistics. Of course, they had the experience of traveling to New York every year to play Army, and then they had the 1924 team, which we talk about in both books, making the trip to play in the 1925 Rose Bowl, and that really set the stage for the idea of we could make a trip out to the West Coast every other year, and that's why there was no bowl game for so many decades, because the leadership here thought, well, we're making this huge trip out to the West Coast to play Southern Cal every year, so that became kind of a de facto bowl game. And you know, part of that was not until Notre Dame Stadium was built, playing at old wooden bleachers of Cartier Field, they didn't really feel they could bring in the top tier teams to play here. So that's why it was difficult, to the idea of bringing teams here, which helped. And then there's other factors too. There was a boycott led by Fielding Yost at Michigan of the Big Ten teams not playing them for almost a decade. So all these things played into the idea of going far and wide to play games. But it was Rockne's personal magnetism and, of course, tremendous success in building teams, developing players, developing larger rosters than any other team, deeper, involve more players in the game, and end up being very successful with it. It drew so much attention and drew these massive crowds, which all lead to the building of Notre Dame Stadium.
Let's hope all of our listeners remember that he built Notre Dame Stadium, had an 881 winning percentage, led the Four Horsemen, and not that he was the guy that made the seats smaller.
Well, we don't have to worry about that now. Right?
What we learn on this show.
Yeah, right.
And you got to remember, people were much smaller back then.
So. Jim, thanks so much for sharing some stories today. Where can people find information one more time?
Again, go to www.rockneysociety.org, and that tells you the basics and what we're doing with the Newt Rockne Society, the film, the awards, and ultimately, we hope, a Newt Rockne Museum and Education Center.
That'd be great.
Awesome. Well, Jim, thanks so much.
Jim.
Enjoy the game this afternoon. You're listening to WSBT's Game Day Show. We're live from the porch of Ivy Court Inn and Suites. To get a reservation for your out-of-town guests or to book your own getaway, call the Ivy Court team at 574-277-6500. We'll be right back with more football talk on Michiana Sports Leader 96.1 FM, WSBT.
Hey, that's when we go on offense. That's when we go to. And don't forget, we're going to pick on one tackle that this week. We're going inside them. We're going outside them. Inside them and outside them. And when we get them on the run once, we're going to keep them on the run. And we're not going to pass unless our secondary comes up too close. But don't forget, man, we're going to get them on the run. We're going to go, 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 go. And we aren't going to stop until we go to that goal line. Don't forget, man, today's the day we're going to win.
The Game Day Show is also brought to you by Budweiser and United Beverage, Carmella's at McCree's, Creative Colors International, the Food Bank of Northern Indiana, Hearth and Home, and Kurt Outdoor Living.
We want to give a big shout-out locally to Penn High School for winning the semi-state.
Heading to
you
state,
can,
yeah.
You can use that word again, demolish.
Yeah,
there we go
did.
Again, except in a good way this
I'll
time.
I'll tell you what, their defense is playing really well right now.
They, you know what, from that loss, man, that was good to lose right at the beginning
right
of the season.
Right at the beginning of the
season, You know what, because they've been sure laser-focused the rest of the season.
Yeah, it'll be Ben Davis next week. Should be a big game.
And that's in the Lucas Oil
Stadium?
That's
in Lucas Oil.
Yeah, we'll be looking forward to
see
that.
See if they can get some blue rings this year.
Hey, it's they always get to that. They've been the bridesmaid too many times lately, so they need to get
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it is. It's time. Oh, man.
And here comes some rib tips over
all right.
to the table.
Thank you.
One of the advantages today, folks, is that you can come in and eat inside in the warm area right now. But speaking of warm, actually it was kind of hot back in 1974 when the 88-game winning streak was ended against UCLA. The next guest was a player on that team. He's a professor in the Mendoza College School of Business. He's a co-founder of Keurig. He's
that might
actor.
Be the most impressive thing right there, right?
Yeah, acting though is pretty good.
Okay,
broadcaster. I mean, there's just so many things.
We've got a lot of people that come on this show with really long resumes, and I don't ever know how to lead. Like, what do we talk about first, right?
You're right, because you know when we do our little things later on, I kind of run out of all the. I can't say all these different things there, but this
I've
guy
already
especially.
Had a few shots of espresso this morning too, so I'm ready to go.
Oh, man, I'm sure this guy's ready to go. He comes by every year. He's a great friend of the show, Chris Stevens. Chris, good morning. Welcome back.
Oh, great to be here, Tim. Good to see you, Evan.
Thanks so much for being on the show. Give us just a quick overview. Men's and women's basketball is about to start. What can fans expect from, well, let's talk about the women's team first this season, then we'll talk about the men a little bit too.
Yeah, I think the women are off to a good start. They're really going to be tested, I think, in Oregon State tomorrow. They flew out and got in about 1 o'clock in the morning. I like this team. The fact that Jessica Shepherd is eligible to be able to play the 6'4 transfer from Nebraska, and Lily Thompson to step right in at point guard, taking Lindsay Allen's place. This team has got some sharpshooters in Enrique and Marina and Jackie Young. And then you've got these two freshmen are contributing right away. Michaela Vaughn is 6'3", 6'4", mm-hmm. had 30 rebounds or 30 points in a preseason game So she's going to contribute, as will Danielle Patterson. And they've had a terrific recruiting year. They're number 7 class in the country. They've got 4 young kids going to come in the fall of next year. So I like this team a lot.
Coach McGraw's got a great program going, huh?
She's
amazing.
She is indeed.
And the guys flew out to Maui. I don't know why or how we didn't get invited to go on that trip. But what can we expect from the men this year?
Well, they're off to a good start as well. I've actually got Nico Joko and John Mooney in my class right now. And you know, this team is had more depth up front. Martin Gebbins has really improved his game. He's trimmed down a little bit. He's more aggressive on the boards. Elijah Burns has got more confidence at 6'9". Martin's 6'10". And then John Mooney at 6'9" is coming in and giving him some good minutes. Austin Torres. So up front, they're, I think, stronger than they've been in a while. And their guards, T.J. Gibbs, is a potential All-American, I think. Mm-hmm. Rex Pfluger knows his role. Had a great line stat sheet with a double-double. So this team is going to be, I think, solid this year.
Well, you've got the double-double machine and Bonzi Colson, too. Yeah, he's tough.
Yeah, I didn't mean to neglect him. That's one of the guys who needs his own soundbite. I mean, Bonzi is just at 6'5 in high heels. I mean, his arms are so long and he's so quick.
He reminds me of Adrian Dantley. You know, I grew up watching Adrian Dantley because the size, you know, he competes against bigger guys, but he still pulls it off.
I played with Adrian.
I know you did.
Adrian was maybe 6'5". But Adrian was so strong, as Bonzi is, that once he got if he got lateral to you or parallel to you, you were done. And it's the same thing with Bonzi. Bonzi's style is a little bit different. But I have never seen anybody with a sweeter touch from 5 to 7 feet, which I think is the most difficult shot in basketball, having just the right touch. And then he's just a monster on the boards.
I don't mean to switch gears too much. Talk to us a little bit about Mendoza School of College. I mean, the College of Business, rocking and rolling, usually number 1 or number 2 in the nation. And I know in the rankings, the business rankings. Talk to us a little bit about the class you teach there and kind of how you've seen that grow since you've been a professor.
Yeah, first of all, I don't know if you guys got the call or not, but Noah called and he said the ARC's going to pick us up in about
15 minutes.
That's why we moved inside.
And I think it's only appropriate that they're actually going to be playing on water like they did NC State last year, given that they're playing Navy. So, Mendoza College of Business is terrific. I was in business for basically 40 years and decided I wanted to come back and teach. And I teach principles of leadership to about 125 students at 8 o'clock and 125 at 9:30. So it's a lot of fun. It's also having early classes, and I have a lot of student-athletes who come to the class and learn a little bit more about leadership and doing the right thing. And we do live consulting. We try to help local businesses. We do major corporations and nonprofits as well. So it's a chance to give the kids an opportunity very, very young to get some consulting experience.
First question, do you have the Keurig machine ready when they're walking in at that time of the day? Or
I make sure that if they need K-Cups, I know a guy can get them some.
Kim and Evan on WSBT's Game Day, visiting with our good friend Chris Stevens. As a professor and stuff, you help with some recruiting. How does that tie in as a professor that you can help with people?
Well, I have the opportunity when they have student-athletes and prospects that are interested in being able to learn a little bit more about the Mendoza College of Business. Actually, I was an arts and letters major, so I can talk that as well. And I also teach in the STEAM program, which is Engineering, Science, Technology. So I just try to be able to do a presentation for the prospects and their family, kind of find their pictures all over the internet and their stats and stuff. It kind of weirds them out that a big, fat, dumpy guy from the business school knows a little bit about them. But, you know, Maya Angelou once said, if you're going to remember what you said, if you're going to remember what you did, everyone will remember how you made them feel. So when the prospects come, we try to make them feel like they really wanted to be a part of the community here at Notre Dame.
What's the big selling point then on your end? At least on the football side, you hear the 4 for 40 quite a bit. I know that's a very popular aspect. What's the conversation that you have that's really resonated with a lot of these basketball players?
Yeah, well, certainly they're not making a 4-year decision. They're making a 40-year decision is really key. But I think it takes the edge off of, oh, college is going to be intimidating. And when it's not, when we show them the type of courses that we teach and the inspiration, I do a lot of inspirational quotes and give them links to leadership, things that they can watch on their own time. I think when it becomes much more approachable, it's much, much easier. So, and there's just one other thing I wanted to be able to mention that the university has asked me to co-lead. There's for people that are 55 or 60 years old that have finished their earning careers and stuff, there's really nothing out there that allows them to be able to pivot and maybe learn something new, start a nonprofit, be a greater force for good. So the university is launching the Inspired Leadership Initiative. If you go to ILI, www.nd.edu. You can learn about it. But our goal is to invite 25 or so accomplished people and their spouses or life partners here to the university. They can choose a new pathway to be able to pursue or audit. They can audit classes across the academy. There'll be activities for the cohort. It's actually patterned after two very successful and ongoing programs at Harvard and Stanford. And ours is going to be unique. So if people are interested in maybe coming here and learning and pivoting and being a greater force for good and being a part of the university again for a year, an academic year beginning in the fall of 2018, check out ili.nd.edu and you can apply online.
You know, I thought maybe I would be in that category yet. I still have 11-year-old, 15-year-old. I'm still trying to make some income. So someday I'll get to that. You've always been involved in a lot of charity. You wrote this great book that I read some years ago about the university golfer, and I'm sorry, I can't remember his
Fighting
name.
To Give, yeah.
Yeah, Fighting to Give and stuff, and it was a great thing. Have you always been into helping others? It seems to me that's just your demeanor.
Well, I think when I was younger, I wasn't much, but I was all I thought about. And as you grow and with five children and stuff, and also you see what's going on in the world, you have to give back. Somebody once said, if you sprinkle happiness on others, it's impossible not to get some on yourself. So I try to teach the kids that. In fact, I'm really proud of my classes. We raised $6,100 for Real Services here in town last fall and again in the spring. And then this fall, with all the hurricanes and disasters, our students put together two websites, one for Catholic Charities, one for Catholic Relief Services, and raised over $20,000 to be able to give back. So I think teaching the students at this age that's the way to go, that whatever you give in life, you're going to get back twice in return is key.
Chris, you got it.
Just one more question. Yeah. So as an athlete and everything gone through, so how do you or how did you deal with adversity like Notre Dame did with against Miami and coming up to the next game?
Yeah, well, we had some adversity. My sophomore year when in those days freshmen couldn't play varsity, my sophomore year our captain lost his leg in a motorcycle accident. Our 6'9" power forward had phlebitis and was out for the year, All-American. Our first team All-American point guard and our second team All-American shooting guard. Both got they kind of got kicked out, and our 6 foot 10 center decided to leave the program. So we started five.
I forgot all that.
We started five sophomores, including two walk ons against the number one schedule in the country, and lost to Indiana on national TV, 94-29.
I do remember that now.
So we were the laughing stock of college basketball, mm-hmm. finishing at 6-20. But then we got it together and got it 18-12 the following year. And then my senior, we're fortunate enough to be able to knock off UCLA's 88-game streak and finish 26-3. So this football team had some adversity last year, and they've bounced back this season for it. Everybody, sometimes you're the windshield, sometimes you're the bug. And last week, what was good about last week is I think they got it all out in 1 week. Mm-hmm. And Brian Kelly is, I think, has really become an inspirational coach, and I think this team's going to perform really well today.
Chris, we appreciate you taking some time. Awesome to hear all the great things you're doing. It's a pleasure to have you on the show. Let us know how that arc ride is with Noah here.
Yeah, well, I'm actually going to take this arc ride right over to Walk a Dog Cafe and see my good friend Dick and Cheryl for the best hot dogs in the free world.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot, Chris.
When we come back, we'll continue to count down to kickoff. You're listening to WSBT's Game Day Show on 96.1 FM, 960 AM, WSBT.
Let's play. Armando Allen for Notre Dame. And a big return. The kicker to beat. There he goes. Down the sideline. This is going to be a touchdown for Notre Dame.
Woo! We're back live at Ivy Court Inn and Suites. The Game Day Show is brought to you by LKQ Pick Your Part and Zolman's Tire and Auto. Chris was a great interview.
He always is. And like I said, we didn't even get into talking about it. He's had parts in movies and stuff. I said he's written a number of books. But what he does on campus for all the students and helping them. And, yeah, he can give everybody an idea of what the School of Business is, plus what it is as being an athlete at Notre Dame. And that's certainly got to help with recruiting.
Yeah, I mean, his perspective, I think, is invaluable. Just, what he's experienced, what he's gone through, and then, still being, at the university as an employee, too. I mean, you can, he's connected with the program, but not connected at the same time. So, you can give a pretty unbiased opinion, but really show the value of what an education at Notre Dame, paired with with the opportunities that you'd have athletically, too.
Everybody knows Keurig, co-founder of Keurig. He walked the walk and talked the talk.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to be a part of a successful business, there you go, right there.
Absolutely.
Well, hey, we're going to keep this show rolling.
Let's
right?
do it. Let's bring on another favorite guest every year.
Every year we have Alan Pinkett on.
He does the walk over here.
He does the walk over here, and he got here early because he wanted to get the barbecue from Fisher's Tips and
Chips. We're pretty good recruiters for Rob because we people hear our words talking about the food that's in our mouth,
Alan,
how delicious it is.
First off, welcome to the show, Alan. before we get started, can you give us your eating experience today?
Oh, my God. You know, I purposely skipped breakfast. And the sausage just melted in my mouth. The rib tips. Remember, Frankie's used to be here, so that
absolutely
was my Friday night spot.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not here anymore, so now I go to the Mandarin House and get some stuff on Friday night. But I've been longing for a taste of barbecue. And so I knew that it was here this morning, so I made sure that I was not going to be late. And just the rib tips, the chicken, the sausage, it just was so satisfying to my palate and my stomach that now I feel like I'm complete.
Well, hopefully it put a smile on your face after last week. So let's talk about last week real quick. Notre Dame, Miami. You had the call. You're there. What was the general feel of that game? And then where do you see this Notre Dame team kind of pivoting here for the final two games?
You know, there was so much energy in that stadium, and I think it was like a 3-hour dance party for the Miami fans. And they were able to seize the momentum, which is so hard to get back in college football if you lose it. And, you know, Notre Dame helped them with the turnovers. There was always going to be some legitimate concern about, you know, Notre Dame's ability to come from behind or have to win a game throwing the football because they really haven't had to throw the football. And there was always the thought that you neutralize speed with power and vice versa. You neutralize power with speed. But they just had a great game plan, and they really fed off of the turnovers to really seize the momentum. And, you know, Notre Dame had an opportunity on the first drive and wasn't able to capitalize. And I think if they were able to do something with that first drive, I don't know if the outcome would have been different, mm-hmm. but it would have been a lot closer because, you know, you build confidence along the course of a game when you're able to make plays. And, you know, after that first drive, they had a lot of three and outs and turnovers that just, you know, sort of left them with that desperate feeling that, okay, we got to force some stuff now.
Yeah, you're citing a missed touchdown early. And again, I don't know how the game would have gone either, but I think it would have been, you know, would have been a little bit different.
Sure.
And then once that momentum started to really change, I'm surprised that you didn't come back with a turnover chain. That seems to be the popular thing now. I'm seeing a turnover trash bin in certain places.
Yeah.
I think there's a couple other ones too. You mentioned the atmosphere. What was that like? I've heard from a number of people that it was louder, more raucous than any environment that they've been a part of, at least in the past few years.
So the booth that they put us in, usually we have a window we can open. But this was an enclosed booth in the corner of the end zone. And that just, you know, when you're a visitor, sometimes you just take what you get, you know. So, but you could still hear the noise in our enclosed booth. I mean, it was just, and it was all day long, you know. It sort of reminds me. I remember in 1992, I was playing with the Saints, and Miami had actually played Alabama on New Year's Day. In a national championship game. And all day long, the Miami fans hooting and hollering, it's like, it's all about the U, all that. Alabama fans didn't say a thing. And then that night, I remember at 3 a.m. when I finally left the French Quarter, all you could hear was roll, tide, roll. So all day long, I was close to like Hallandale Beach, and I was walking on the beach, and dude says to me, he's like, it's all about the U. And he's like, you going down? And I'm like, you know what, this reminds me so much. But they backed it up. And, you know, they give Manny Diaz, the defensive coordinator, credit because he had a great game plan. He essentially said, you are not going to run this ball on mm-hmm. us tonight. If you're going to beat us, you're going to beat us throwing the football. And we couldn't do it.
This is WSBT's Game Day. We're talking with two-time All-American Irish running back Alan Pinkett. And we don't want to spend too much on last week's game, but I really want to ask you something technical because it came up, you know, broadcasters on TV and stuff. Our polling guards, they were running their speed was just overtaking. Everybody's saying, well, Josh was trying to pick his hole and he was waiting too long and everything. What were you seeing as a running back up in the booth?
What I was seeing was the Miami defense get off so fast and fill all those gaps that there was really no place for Josh to run. And so it didn't matter if we were pulling. It didn't matter if we were going straight ahead. Their linebackers were committed to getting up and filling those holes where Josh normally would run through. And there were a lot of occasions where they had 7 and 8 people in the box. So, I mean, if you can get by that first level and that second level, then you break one. But, you know, they just did a great job of filling all those gaps and not really giving Josh or any other running back a place to run football.
All right, let's shift gears. Let's move away from last week. Yeah. Notre Dame has Navy this afternoon. Kickoff's at 3:30. It's senior day. We've got the rain. We've got the midshipmen coming in. Always play Notre Dame tough. Very competitive. They play hard for four quarters. What do you believe the conversation was like throughout this week, both from the coaches, but then also in the locker room too, as the hopes of a college football playoff berth really disappear at this point unless quite a bit of unusual things happen. How does this team move past last week, pick up the pieces, and finish this season strong?
Well, I think the first thing you have to, you know, say is you've got a chance to win 10 games this year. You know, you won 4 last year, and so I remember last year just hoping they could get to 6 wins to go to a bowl game. It wasn't even a consideration this year. It's like we're going somewhere. Mm-hmm. All right, and maybe we'll play 2 extra games. So you've accomplished quite a bit, and I think these seniors should feel proud. And with any game, you have that short time that you either celebrate or commiserate, but you got to flush it at some point and get on to the next opponent. And this opponent, Navy, will get your attention because, you know, one of the things I always say is they look like a high school team when they come on the field. But if you are not, you know, fundamentally sound in how to defend that option, they will run you out of the stadium. You know, so you can feel sorry for yourself for a minute, but you've got another game to play. And, you know, this game is the last game. And, you know, that senior game is always so sudden because you're always in a routine your entire 4 years, going to class, going to the weight room, film study, all these things you do. And then you get to this game, and it's like, oh, my God, this stuff's going to be over. Mm-hmm. You know, so it naturally becomes emotional that this is the last. And for some of the seniors, it's the last competitive football they'll ever play. You know, so it's overwhelming. So you just have to be able to focus on the task at hand. And the task at hand is you got to defeat an opponent that's, you know, somebody that can come in here and beat you if you want to feel sorry for yourself for what you did last week.
Tim Growl and Evan Sharpley from the Ivy Court Inn and Suites enjoying our annual in-person conversation with Fighting Irish broadcaster Alan Pinkett. So we all know Brandon's struggling. His rating's about 90 or something of that nature. This is something we've never talked about. What would you think about somebody that has a passing rating of 595 one season and 391 another one? Someone here threw one pass for 59 yards in 1983 and was 2 for 2 in 1984. So he had a 595 rating 1 year and a 391 rating 1 year. Maybe you're in the wrong business. Maybe you should have been a quarterback.
Well, they were spirals, too. And I remember one of them being a dime to Steve Berline.
I can't believe we've never asked you about this. It's funny what statistics you can find when you go online and you start looking for it.
Yeah, you know, a little bit of trickeration here and there because no one would ever suspect me throwing the football, but I could spin it just a little bit. Not as good as you, Evan.
That's a pretty good 59 yards for that one. That's chunking it down.
Yeah, I think that was the one to Mark Bavaro against USC.
So. Not that you remember anything like that, right?
Yeah, we got to go back in the annals, in the archives to you know, pull that up. But I guess you play long enough, you see a lot of things. You know, live long enough, you see a lot of things, and so that was. That's a great memory. Thank you for bringing it up.
I saw that. I thought, and we just got to talk about that because we, like I said, we've been talking every year, a lot of years, but we've never talked about it.
Well, you know, it sort of ties into we don't know which quarterback is going to play for Navy, but the guy that played last week, Malcolm Perry, mm-hmm. had 282 yards rushing. He was a slot back, and he moved to quarterback. And so that gets your attention also. I think he threw two passes.
I thought he's one out of two. I thought I heard last night on Sports Beat that they announced that he was hurt.
I don't know if he's been clear. Yay or nay. And then Zach Abbey is the other quarterback playing a little bit of a different style option. You've seen a little more shotgun.
That'll really throw people off.
The issue has been with Navy this year is an inability to run with the fullback. And that's when you have a really good option running team, and Navy still is, you know, they're still, tops or towards the tops in the nation in running, and Abbey as himself is near the top two. But if you don't have that aspect of the fullback, it completely changes the element of how you can run your offense.
No doubt. That's going to be one of the keys to the game. If they line up under center, the three fullbacks on the depth chart all have runs in excess of 35 yards. You know, for their long for the season. So, yes, there's three options, but you better stop that first option first if you're going to have success against the option. So, I mean, like I said, they can feel sorry for themselves if they want, but you've got a team in here who is so precise with how they run this offense that if you aren't tuned in, you'll get run out of stadium.
You can't simulate it in practice.
No, you can't. Yeah, right. And usually it takes about a couple of series to get acclimated to the speed with which they run it. I know that Notre Dame has done it in the past, but it takes a couple series to get used to, okay, now I see where I need to be because I was a step behind the last time, and then you're also fending off the blocks because they're trying to cut you. So you have to deal with that too. And so there's one team out there that has broken the code in terms of how to defend the option. That's Temple. So I'm sure that they did it last year in the whatever their conference is.
AAC, championship. Is that right?
Thank you. and they did it again this year, held them to 136 yards. You know, and this team runs for 369, averages 369. Mm-hmm. So to hold them to 136, that's really, really, you know, breaking them down.
Yeah. And we have to have more than six possessions like we had last year, you got to make the most of every possession that you get.
And that's always the conversation of, are you going to match running with running to shorten the game, knowing that your possessions are already going to be limited? But, Alan, you and Don have the call today. We always joke, and I don't know if we've talked about this in person with you before. When we have you guys call in, we're never sure what to expect from Don. A couple of times he's handed the phone off to you.
Oh yeah!
What are those car rides like? Knowing that you're driving and you could get the phone call and talk to us. Are you just sitting on pins and needles there?
Have to always be prepared.
And actually, it might be next week. I was planning to call you guys out in Stanford next week.
Just have to always be prepared. And Don lets me know beforehand that he's calling.
He gives you the heads up. All right, good.
Yeah, but sometimes he'll just throw the phone over to me and let me, ramble on and say some stuff. But, just have to always be prepared.
Well, Alan, thanks so much for stopping by. Glad you could enjoy the barbecue. I'm sure there's still plenty over there because Tim and I have not gone over there yet. But enjoy the call this afternoon. Hopefully we see an Irish victory.
Oh, I'm going to go get a little doggy bag and take it to the stadium.
Make sure you get some for Don, too.
They feed us good in the stadium, but they don't have that sausage over there. So, look, I always appreciate you guys having me on and always want to be able to support the local affiliate. You guys do so much for us, and you'll always have me as a guest as long as I'm around here to be able to talk about the great things you guys do. So I really, really appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Alan. Appreciate
Thanks
it.
So much.
Thanks a lot.
When we come back, we'll continue our countdown to kickoff. You'll hear a few keys to the game, and then we'll toss it off to the game day crew.
You got it.
You're listening to WSBT's Game Day Show on 96.1 FM, 960 AM, WSBT.
Couldn't hang on. Notre Dame 71, UCLA 70 with 6 seconds left. Into Walton. He can't score. Turnovich, Myers, Schumate. It's all over.
Notre Dame has won the game.
The number one ranked UCLA Bruins have been upset by the Irish of Notre Dame.
Welcome back to the Game Day Show. We're live from Ivy Court Inn and Suites, To ensure everyone and everything that is important to you, make sure you give Tim McGraw a call at 232-9981. Again, 232-9981. Tim, I see you have not you haven't taken a bite of your chicken yet.
So now you're going after it.
So I'm
going
to take it right now. And,
I'm not good about
gonna,
trying to talk like you are and stuff.
While you're eating?
Go ahead. So.
That looks so good right there. We want to thank Fisher's Tips and Chip. They've done a great job this
year. A lot of love out there today. What better, you know, Alan's across the country is going to be up in that press box telling everybody about the Fisher's Rib and Tips. And we want to publicly thank Jessica, who's standing here or sitting here with us right now, for another great year. Where did the season go?
It happened so fast. It was all that winning we did.
We like it. And your staff is so good. The amenities here, it's like I've told people before, my wife and I have come here for just to get away from the kids and stuff. And it's great. It's a great place to come. But what's going on the rest of the year?
We got a lot of things coming up. We have some really great rates through the holiday season. So if you guys have family coming in and want to not have them on your couch, send them our way. We'll take really, really good care of them. That's one of the things that we really focus on here is making sure that guest experience is a positive one and you feel like you're at home when you're here.
Well, we definitely feel at home.
We do.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you so much. Where can people find out information?
IVCourt.com or call us at 574-277-6500.
Thank you so much.
Thanks,
hopefully,
guys.
We'll be back next year.
Let's do
Come
it.
Back.
All right. So, what are you, just a small synopsis for today. What do you think?
I'm going to keep it simple.
Got it.
Score more than Navy.
I like that.
To be honest, it's senior day, right? So my first key is going to be making sure you're managing those emotions, especially coming off a difficult loss. The second key is all about defending the option. Defensively, I think it's going to be important to try to create a turnover. And Navy has turned the ball over a little bit more this year than they have in the past. If Notre Dame's defense is able to do that, I think it's going to really help out the offense. That's kind of been their MO this year is giving some short fields, and the Notre Dame's offense being able to capitalize on some short fields and some explosive plays. And then on offense, it's going to be about finding a good balance. I think that they're going to try to attempt to run the football. I think they should be able to run the football, but at the same time, you want to get Brandon Winbush back on track. You want to develop some consistency there as well. I've got 35-24 Notre Dame.
All right, I like it. And we're not done. We got one more game next week. We'll be back in the studios. So join us next week as we get you ready for the Stanford game with our guests Jimmy Clausen and Ross Browner, among many others. Stay tuned to WSBT this week for our showtime, as the game time has not been announced yet. So as soon as that is, then we'll have our game time set too. So don't go anywhere as our Fighting Irish football coverage continues. After the news, it's Darren, Sean, and Eric previewing today's game on Budweiser's Game Day Sports Beat. Immediately following them, it's the official Notre Dame pregame show. Then it's kickoff at just after 3:30 p.m. with Don Creaky and Alan Pickett on the IMG Network. After the game, it's the official Notre Dame postgame show with Darren Pridgett and Reggie Brooks. All this on your home for Fighting Irish football, 96.1 WSBT. For Evan Sharpley, this is Tim Growl.
Go Irish!
The home of Notre Dame football, the NFL, weekday sports beat, and JT in the morning, 960 AM, 96.1 FM, WSBT, South Bend.